Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 9, The Appearance of the Demon Vritrasura, Text Number 41. O Supreme Protector, O Grandfather, O Supreme Pure, O Lord, we are all surrendered souls at your lotus feet. Indeed, our minds are bound to your lotus feet in meditation by chains of love. Now please manifest your incarnation, accepting us as your own eternal servants and devotees. Be pleased with us and sympathetic toward us. By your love-filled glance with its cool and pleasing smile of sympathy, and by the sweet nectarian words emanating from your beautiful face, free us from the anxiety caused by this Vritrasura who always pains the cores of our hearts. Purport. Lord Brahma is considered the father of the demigods, but Krishna, or Lord Vishnu, is the father of Brahma, because Brahma took birth from the lotus flower growing from the Lord's abdomen. Text 42. O Lord, as the small sparks of a fire cannot possibly perform the actions of the whole fire, we sparks of your Lordship cannot inform you of the necessities of our lives. You are the complete whole. Therefore, of what do we need to inform you? You know everything, because you are the original cause of the cosmic manifestation, the maintainer and annihilator of the entire universal creation. You always engage in your pastimes with your spiritual and material energies, for you are the controller of all these varied energies. You exist within all living entities, within the cosmic manifestation, and also beyond them. You exist internally as Param Brahman, and externally as the ingredients of the material creation. Therefore, although manifested in various stages, at different times and places, and in various bodies, you, this personality of Godhead, are the original cause of all causes. Indeed, you are the original element. You are the supreme witness of all activities, because you are as great as the sky. You are never touched by any of them. You are the witness of everything as Parabrahman and Paramatma. O Supreme Personality of Godhead, nothing is unknown to you. Purport. That was as long as many of the purports, the translation. The Absolute Truth exists in three phases of spiritual understanding: Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavan iti Shabdite. Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the cause of Brahman and Paramatma. Brahman, the impersonal Absolute Truth, is all-pervading, and Paramatma is locally situated in everyone's heart. But Bhagavan, who is worshipable by the devotees, is the original cause of all causes. A pure devotee is aware that since nothing is unknown to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he need not be informed of a devotee's conveniences and inconveniences. Pure devotee knows that there is no need to ask the Absolute Truth for any material necessities. Therefore, while informing the Supreme Lord about their distress and being attacked by Vritrasura, the demigods apologize for offering prayers for their safety. A neophyte devotee, of course, approaches the Supreme Lord for relief from distress or poverty, or for speculative knowledge of the Lord. Bhagavad Gita 7:16 mentions four kinds of pious men who begin devotional service to the Lord. One who is distressed, artha, and one who is in need of money, artha, arti. One who is inquisitive, jignasu, and one who is searching for the Absolute Truth, jnani. A pure devotee, however, knows that since the Lord is omnipresent and omniscient, there is no need to offer prayers or worship him for one's personal benefit. Pure devotee always engages in the service of the Lord without demanding anything. The Lord is present everywhere, and he knows the necessities of his devotees. Consequently, there was no need to disturb him by asking him for material benefits. There are different levels of faith in Krishna. And there are different types of understanding about Krishna. Those who accept Krishna, such as the demigods, as the Supreme Person, in one sense they understand that Krishna knows everything, being Paramatma in everyone's heart. On the other side, they don't want to leave it just up to Krishna to decide what benefits they want. Therefore, it says that often people do not approach Krishna to worship him, like Vritrasura, because Krishna may not give the benediction that one wants. Vritrasura was a demon, and he wanted some benediction. So he approached, he met Narada Muni, and he asked Narada Muni who he should worship to get his benediction. So Narada Muni advised him, he said, better to worship Shiva, because if you worship Vishnu, he may not get what you, he may not give you what you want. So Vritrasura decided to worship Shiva. This is at the end of the 10th canto. So Vritrasura made a fire. He went up to Kedaranath. Kedaranath is in the Himalayas, going towards Bhadraka Ashrama. And he decided, after making the fire sacrifice, then he started to cut his flesh from his body. Imagine getting a knife and starting to cut the flesh from your body and throwing it into the fire. Swaha. Could anyone imagine doing that? Most of us don't have very much flesh. In any case, after he's doing that for some time, Lord Shiva didn't appear. So he decided that today I'm going to bathe my head, wash my head, and then I'm going to take a big sword, big knife, and with my hair hold it over the fire and then cut off my head. So when I cut off my head, naturally my head will fall into the fire. Swaha. So he's just about to cut off his head and let it fall into the fire as an offering to Shiva, when Shiva, out of compassion, appeared from the fire and touched Vritrasura, so that Vritrasura was able to, all his bodily wounds healed. And then Shiva said, well, there was no need to go through such a great austerity, cutting your flesh and offering it to the fire. If you offer me a little Ganges water and bilva fruit, then I become satisfied. In any case, Lord Shiva offered Vritrasura a benediction, and he gave the benediction. He wanted the benediction that whosoever head he would touch would immediately crack into thousands of pieces. Now, if he would have asked that to Lord Vishnu, obviously Vishnu would not be very enthusiastic about offering such a benediction. But Shiva was, because he's Asutosh, he's obligated to offer such a benediction, so he gave Vritrasura that benediction. So immediately Vritrasura went to approach Lord Shiva to touch his head and let it crack into thousands of pieces so he could steal Parvati. Now, he must have been quite a powerful demon. I mean, in any case, Lord Shiva took off. He wasn't going to wait around, have his head touched. So he flew everywhere throughout the whole universe. He went to Brahma. He went to different places. Finally, Lord Shiva went to all these different places. Finally, he went to Swetadweep, where Lord Vishnu resides. And there, knowing his distress, Lord Vishnu appeared as a brahmachari with Rudraksha beads, chanting beads, and Shiva flew past him, and then Vritrasura was in chase after Lord Shiva, and Lord Vishnu said, my dear Vritrasura, please slow down, O son of Shukuni. Shukuni was Vritrasura's father. So Vritrasura said, oh, he must be a friend of the family. He knows my father. So he slowed down and said, Lord Vishnu asked him, what are you doing? Why are you running so fast? You're going to wear your body out. And if you wear your body out, then how you satisfy the demands of your mind? So Vritrasura, being a demon, was very much obsessed with his body. And he thought, this is very good advice. I have to take care of my body so I can fulfill the desires of my mind. And Lord Vishnu said, my dear sir, just let me know, if you like, why you're running so fast after Lord Shiva. So Vritrasura explained the whole thing about how he had received a benediction from Lord Shiva and how he wanted to touch Lord Shiva's head so he could steal Parvati. So Lord Vishnu said, wait a second. You don't really believe that Shiva can actually give bona fide benedictions, do you? I have knowledge that Lord Shiva got into a quarrel with his father-in-law, Daksha. As a result, he's been cursed by Daksha, and he's become like a ghost. And therefore, all these ghosts are following around with him. And I heard personally that he's going throughout the whole universe handing out false benedictions. So my suggestion is that you try out the benediction yourself by touching your own head. And if nothing happens, then you should go and kill that rascal, Lord Shiva, for handing out false benedictions. Under the influence of the superior energy, Vritrasura forgot the power of Lord Shiva. And therefore he decided to test out the benediction, and he touched his own head, and it cracked into thousands of pieces. And he died. Again, the conclusion is that such benedictions would not be given by Lord Vishnu. Therefore, generally people approach the demigods, or they just try to make money nowadays. They don't even approach the demigods. They try to get everything from Amazon.com by simply getting enough credit in their credit card or some money. And that way they think they'll get all benedictions from the ocean of benedictions, Amazon.com. But these benedictions you can get from Amazon are usually completely insignificant. They don't really have anything to do with the even material advancement, what to speak of spiritual realization. If we want spiritual advancement, then the person to generally approach is Lord Vishnu, Lord Krishna. And as Indra is saying, there is really no need to approach the demigods, because whatever we need, ultimately the demigods are going to fulfill, but they fulfill through, or Lord Vishnu is fulfilling them through the demigods. Kamas taista ridigyana prapadyantena devata tam tam niyamamastaya prakriti niyataksvaya. Those whose minds are distorted by material desire, they surrender unto the demigods, who offer them various benedictions. Satya shadaya yuktas tasyuradam ihate levate chatata kaman mayaiva vihitan hitan. Now actually Krishna says these benedictions are bestowed by me alone. It may appear that the demigod is offering the benediction, but actually the super soul in the heart of the demigod is empowering the demigod to offer the benediction. Without the sanction of Krishna, without his empowerment, no one can do anything. So actually the benediction is authorized and comes from Krishna, but indirectly through the demigod. Therefore, an intelligent person doesn't take shelter of the demigods, he takes shelter of Krishna. Matter of fact, taking shelter of the demigods is called avidipurvakam. That if we take shelter of Krishna, then at least Krishna will be considerate what he gives us. He won't give us anything which will be detrimental to ourselves or others. But if we take shelter of the demigods, they may give us something which may wind up causing us all kinds of problems. Yepyanyanya devata bhakta yajante sharyanvita tepi mam eva kuntiya yajantiya pidi purvakam. Those who take shelter of any of other gods do so incorrectly. Apurti vidi purvakam. Because they don't understand how Krishna is actually in charge of the universe. So here, Lord Indra is praying, you know, I know that you know everything that's going on, therefore there's no need for me to offer prayers to ask for something. But anyhow, I'm going to do it anyhow, just in case. Just so you get it right. Make sure, so I can communicate properly what I want. Go kill Vritrasura. Now that's what Krishna does. That's according to the Pratibhasha Sutra of the Srimad Bhagavatam, that Ete Changsa Kalapumsam Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam Indrari Vyakalam Lokam Mridiyanti Yuge Yuge. Krishna's the supreme original person, and he comes again and again to protect Indra and kill the demons. That's what he does here. Tries to protect the devotees and annihilate the demons. And he tries to, in order to reestablish religious principles. He doesn't do it because he likes Indra. And he doesn't like the way the demons look, and therefore he wants to get rid of them. No, the demigods, they pray for Krishna, his assistance, and therefore he comes to assist them. And the demons never pray for his assistance, therefore he never assists the demons. If the demons prayed for Krishna's help, then Krishna would come and help them. But they never do that. So actually Krishna is equal to everyone. Instead, the demons want to kill Krishna, so Krishna kills them. And the demigods want Krishna's protection, so Krishna does that. So whatever we want, nigama kalpaturu galitam balam, sukamukam drava samyutam, pibhata bhagavatam amalam, mahura mahura bhuvika, what's the one? Ahura rasika bhuvikaha. That Krishna is Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is the narration of Krishna. And everything's there. Whatever we can see, whatever people want from Krishna, Krishna is giving them if it's beneficial for them. Otherwise, Krishna frustrates them until they give up. And sometimes they go to demigods to get their benediction. And sometimes they surrender to Krishna. Like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime with Vallabhacharya. So Vallabhacharya was a great devotee of Lord Krishna, but he was proud. He's not the only one in the material world who's proud, but he was particularly proud because he was a great scholar and devotee. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu understood how proud he was, and therefore he was always frustrating Vallabhacharya. Vallabhacharya came to the assembly and started to criticize the devotees. He said, why are you all chanting Krishna's name? You say that Krishna is like the husband and that we're all subordinate to him, but the wife never chants the name of her husband. So why are you all chanting the name of the husband? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard that. Advaita Acharya said, well, we should ask Mahaprabhu. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, well, the husband Krishna asked us to chant his name, and I think that anyone who doesn't follow the husband is a prostitute. So Vallabhacharya was insulted by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu indirectly. And one day he said, I wrote this commentary about which is surpasses Sridhar Swami. Oh, actually, that's when he said that whoever doesn't respect the Swami, which means husband, I consider to be like a prostitute. And as far as chanting the names, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I only know two names. He said, I've written a commentary on the names, would you like to hear it, of Krishna. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I only know two names. Yasoda Nandana and, what was the other one? Maybe Shinarasundara. Yasoda Nandana. So, in that way, Balabhacharya was being insulted one after another. And finally, he realized one day that every day I go into the assembly and every day I'm being criticized and insulted. What's going on? Before, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very kind to me, and now he's become not very kind. So what's going on? Then he realized that actually maybe I've been a little proud. I'm trying to defeat all these Vaishnavas and establish myself as so great. So maybe I'm being proud, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, just like Indra, cut down the pride of Indra by lifting Govardhan Hill. So maybe he's trying to cut down my pride. Then he realized that that's a fact, and he became a little humble and surrendered to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offered his benedictions, and ultimately he got the opportunity to take initiation from Gadadhar Pandit. Although he somehow or another established his own separate sampradaya. They even had their own separate places of birth for Krishna and for Baladev. In any case, that's Krishna's job, is to cut down our false prestige. We may not like it. We may think Krishna is being unkind. I'm praying to him so sincerely for benedictions, and all I'm getting is lightning bolts from him. What kind of answer to my prayer is that? Because Krishna only has one objective, is to bring us back to the spiritual world. On the other hand, sometimes Krishna does give out benedictions just so that the devotee will develop some faith that Krishna, we can approach Krishna, and Krishna will actually give benedictions. Therefore, Yudhisthira Maharaj wanted to have the Rajasuya sacrifice to show the world that it's not necessarily true that if you take shelter of Lord Krishna, then he takes everything away. Yasyanu grahami karishe tadinashanai. That's Krishna's reputation. He takes everything away when you approach him and leaves you poverty stricken. Sometimes he does that so that there's nothing, if someone is a devotee, trying to become a devotee, but he remains attached to his society, friendship, and love, and he can't give it up, that sometimes Krishna works in such a way to take everything away so that one has no other alternative but to surrender to Krishna. And then after surrendering to Krishna, after becoming a sincere devotee, then Krishna gives all opportunities for the devotee to perform his service. Krishna even took away the opulences of the Pandavas. And even in Prabhupada's case, we find that when he came to America, he came with nothing. So why didn't Krishna at least give him a little, spare change when he came? Because Krishna wanted to show that if you rely upon me, even Prabhupada didn't come with any merchandise except for some books. He didn't come with a business plan. He didn't have contacts here. He knew no one. When he got off the boat, he didn't know whether to go left or right. Still, with that nothing, just by chanting Hare Krishna and distributing Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada created a worldwide movement. So Krishna wanted to show that. Otherwise, if he came with a jet liner, and Krishna arranged 500 people welcoming him, it wouldn't have been such an exciting success story, relying on Krishna and how Krishna can reciprocate. So, in the same way, if we simply rely upon Krishna, then certainly Krishna has a plan to spread Krishna consciousness. And if we rely upon Krishna to take part in it, then he'll use this as an instrument in some way. On the other hand, if we have so many plans, what can our tiny brain think up? Prabhupada apparently didn't come with a whole plan of how he's going to organize the Sankirtan movement, although in his essay in Gita Nagari he did describe his plan, how he was going to organize the Sankirtan movement. But apparently everything was going on quite spontaneously. He was in the Bowery chanting, some people came, he tried to engage them in teaching them Sanskrit or different things. That didn't work out so well. So then he went to 22nd Avenue, and still Prabhupada had no idea who Krishna was going to send, what was going to happen. He went out to the Tompkins Square Park and chanted Hare Krishna, and some people became attracted. And he very carefully nurtured them. He didn't immediately send that out on book distribution. Sorry, I don't know how to distribute books. Well, you're worthless. No, Prabhupada tried in so many different ways. Tried to purchase a building. Went to a $100,000 building. Asked them if they would donate it. Prabhupada was always thinking big. Tried to get these industrialists in India to send over the money. They wouldn't do anything. Prabhupada tried in so many different ways. And then Krishna manifested the plan. And the Hare Krishna movement spread in the way that Krishna wanted it to spread. He already had it all organized. He already sent people to help Prabhupada. They took birth in that situation. Prabhupada didn't choose them. Krishna chose them. And then the Hare Krishna movement spread. So, similarly, we try to act as an instrument for Krishna. Krishna will arrange things that, in one way or another, at least we'll become Krishna conscious. And if we have too many plans, we rely upon Krishna to kill our enemies and benedict our friends, we may miss the whole point of the Hare Krishna movement. We may not really get Krishna's real benedictions. We may get some benedictions, but it may not be anything of any worth to us eternally spiritually. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions?
When listening to the first verse, I was thinking that it's quite common that when someone approaches Krishna, then they get spiritual knowledge, because for demigods is not their mixed devotees. But when they approach the Lord, suddenly they know everything. They know they're eternal servants of the Lord. More of a comment. I couldn't think of a question.
Yeah, they know their position, because the demigods are generally they're in the mode of goodness to some degree. Therefore, they understand things. But if you imagine you're in the Nanda Kanda in the forest, and there's all these women thousands of times beautiful than the most beautiful women on this earth. There's all the food is organic. Best cooks in the universe. The music is from the Gandharvas that even Lord Brahma listens to. And you're thinking, well, maybe I should renounce it, this whole thing, but not quite yet. Maybe I'll wait a few thousand years before I get into the mood of renunciation. So, it's difficult. When all you're doing is enjoying, it's hard to think, well, I got to give this up. How many people are actually going to be able to give up enjoyment thousands and thousands of times greater than the happiness we have here? Very difficult. But they know it's coming from Krishna. Therefore, in order to keep the enjoyment up, they take shelter of Krishna. Anything else? Thank you very much. Krantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.